Or if it's a red state, shine. Red state is under.
Today is the last meeting. Lord, we pray that this word from 1 John would be written not only in the Bible, but also in our hearts, that through this word we might also receive life and experience you daily in all the things that we do. Bless us all, not just for ourselves, but much more for your testimony, that you, Lord and Father God, will receive all the glory. Amen. Yes, Lord. As the sister suggested to read the verses in Ephesians chapter 3, the Lord is working in us not just for ourselves, but that He would receive the glory in the church. And not just in Jesus Christ, but in the church, in us all. This is very wonderful and practical. As John told us, in conclusion, I want to bring us back to the tree of life. This is truly important. And you have realized that John always emphasizes this life that is in us. Even at the end, what does he say? And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding in verse 20. So learn to say, not to say, I don't understand, Lord. Why? Because the Lord has all given us an understanding through the anointing that is in us, by the light that this life has given to us. In the past ages or past times, many years, by the grace of the Lord, I have served Him for over 50 years. I have experienced how the Lord has given me understanding. Oftentimes I told Him, if you don't show me, how should I know what is up there? How should I know what is hidden in God's heart? So, Lord, you must give me light. I'm open to your speaking. And here it is written that He has given us an understanding through this life, through this anointing that dwells in us. So life is very wonderful. And I want to emphasize another small point, that life is not just life, but the whole person. When a child is born, it's not just alive, but this life is the whole person of the Lord Jesus. So what the Lord has given us as life is not just life so that we could be alive and living, but the Lord said, I am the life. So it's written here that He has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true. The Lord is the one who is true. Not to know the teachings, but to know Him who is true. The Lord is the reality of all things. I don't just want to know a few verses. I want to know Him. If you have Him, you have everything. that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Life is not just life, but life is this wonderful true God. He is the life. So, the eternal life is not that we are living or alive, but this person lives in us. That's why John said, God gave His Son not only to die for us, to redeem us, to accomplish redemption, but that we might live through Him. Many of us are conscious of our salvation that the Lord has accomplished, that He died on the cross. We received redemption. We were even reborn, born again. But what is important, that the goal is that we live through Him. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." For me to live is Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Paul was a wonderful example to us all. He did everything through Jesus Christ. This is an exercise. That's why he could say, "For me to live is Christ." We have done so many things apart from Him. That's why the Lord said in John chapter 15, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." But it seems we're so capable. You can do so much, right, Timo? Without Christ, we can do a lot. But the Lord said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And what that means is everything that the Father wants pertaining to God's plan, everything that is for the fulfillment of God's purpose. You cannot do it. Even in your service for God, many people serve God, but they do it out of themselves. That's why the Lord said, "Not all who say, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heavens, but only those who do the Father's will." But how do you do the Father's will? Even to know the Father's will is so difficult. Do you know the Father's will? It's difficult. You have to tell the Father, "Father, if you don't give me the revelation and light, how should I know what your will is?" And how often do you think that you are right and yet you're still not right? How often? That's why there are so many problems in the church. Everyone thinks he's right. But it's not about being right. It is about doing the Father's will. In Matthew chapter 7, the Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, "Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name?" We say so many words, but is it truly from the Lord? Is it the Lord who speaks in us? In Romans, at the end, Paul said, "You want a proof who is speaking in me. That is Jesus Christ." If Christ is speaking through Paul, then Paul said, then the word is powerful and effective in you. But if I speak, it doesn't work. It's not effective. Yeah, I might understand it, but it's not effective. It doesn't change your daily life. But if the Lord speaks, His word is living, effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will penetrate into your heart. Remember on the day of Pentecost when Peter spoke, because the Spirit was poured out and they were all full of the Holy Spirit, and Peter stood up and spoke. Who spoke? It wasn't Peter. It was the Holy Spirit, the Lord Himself in Peter, who spoke. It's wondrous to me that the fisherman Peter knew about the prophet Joel. Do you think Peter read the Bible every day, 8 hours a day? Then who told him that he should speak concerning Joel? And his words were short. They weren't very long. I always encourage the young people not to speak too long. The longer you speak, the more you speak from out of yourself. This is my experience. If I speak too much, then I speak, maybe just speaking nonsense, but it's not the Lord speaking anymore, but I am the one who's speaking. And all my words are vanity, are vain, in vain. But when the Lord speaks, just as Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 55, when He speaks, no word will fall on the ground, and it will never return to Him void. But it will accomplish His purpose. This is the ministry of the Word. I hope that we all learn, especially the brothers, learn, Lord, I don't want to be the one speaking, but You must be the one who speaks. That's why the Lord also told His disciples, when You appear before the kings, and You will appear before the kings, when You appear before the kings, don't worry about what you should speak. Why? Because it is the Spirit of the Father who will speak in you. So who is speaking? It's the Lord. This life in us. And this is what John said. God has given us this eternal, wonderful life. For what reason? For what reason? If you do everything by yourself, then why do you have the eternal life? Then it was given to you for nothing. So the result, and this is the love of God, that God sent His Son, not just to die for us, but that we should live through Him. These three short words are so important. Learn. Learn to live through Him, by Him. In Galatians, Paul said very simply, not with many explanations, he said, I am crucified with Christ. That is the baptism. We are baptized into His death in baptism. And then when we come out of the water, then we walk in newness of life. And we serve the newness of the Spirit. If we don't do this in the church life and in Zion, I can assure you, you will cause many problems and fightings, divisions. It's just a matter of time. And also without love. Everything that God does is with love, is anointed with love, or seasoned with love. Seasoned with love. I have forgotten many German words. Seasoned with love. That's the best spice. Otherwise, in your heavenly food, it won't be tasty. Right. But if it is seasoned with love, it tastes so good. Or not? If you have the love of the Lord, you cannot fight. It's impossible to fight. Do everything through the Lord. A word in Philippians that has been written in my heart is, for me to live is Christ. Learn not to say something out of yourself. We say so many things that don't give life. Yourself, your flesh, and not out of this wonderful life of Christ, then God has given us this life for nothing. So I come back to Matthew chapter 7. Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? There's so many preachers today. Did we not do many wonders in your name and even cast out demons in your name? Of course, you have to do that in the name of the Lord. That's clear. It has to be in the name of the Lord. Done wonders. The Lord said, I do not know you. Many cannot understand that. But I did preach. But Philippians 1 says, some preached through envy and strife. It's truly that way. That's the case. They preached out of themselves. You have mega churches. And you have so many things. But not out of the Spirit, not out of this life. Not the source of the Spirit and the life. This is what we have to learn in Zion. It's not good if the Lord says to you, who are you? Who are you? Then I'll tell the Lord, Lord, don't you know me? I preach so much. That would be a tragedy. I've lived in Germany so long and I've preached and you don't know me? The Lord will look in his book of life and say, what's your name? My name is John So. John So. Sorry, I don't see it in the book of life. Then what will you say? And you've all read concerning the 10 virgins. At the end, the 5 foolish virgins still had to buy oil, but it was too late to buy oil, even though you still had to buy it. And then they bought the oil, but then they came and the door was shut. The wedding feast had started inside, and they were too late. They arrived too late. They knocked. But the Lord told them exactly the same thing. I do not know you. This is serious. Lord, I've been in the church. And? Which church? The church in Philadelphia or the church in Sardis? Or Laodicea? Or Thyatira? What do you do in the church? We say we want to build the church, but what are you building in the end? You know it. Yourself. We've experienced this so much because it was the source was not this life. Only that which comes out of God's life, the eternal life, counts. Everything else does not count. Learn. That does not mean that your studies doesn't count. Going to college or university is just for this age. What did you study at the university? Electrical engineering. That's not useful for God's coming kingdom. You will tell the Lord, Lord, look at my diploma. I even have a master's. See that? It's not worth anything. That's why Peter said, everything will be burned and it'll be done. It'll be useless. Your diploma, your PhD. You will tell the Lord, look, I even got all A's in math, mathematics. Look, I got cum laude, summa cum laude. The Lord will say, what's that? What is that? It's not valid. And not only that, but even our works for Him, and especially our works for Him, everything that is not done through Jesus Christ, through this life, will not be accepted. It will be rejected. And don't wait until that day. It will be too late. That's why today we already have to learn. I'm very happy to see that there are many brothers who have practiced, exercised to serve. That's wonderful. It's excellent. But what's more important is that you learn to do it through Him. Paul said, I did more than all the other apostles, and yet not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Otherwise, in the end, you'll be so proud. Oh, I did so much. With my own ears, I have heard a brother say, where would the churches be without my ministry? What kind of nonsense is that? In German, they have the word cheese for nonsense, and he calls it stinky cheese. I don't know why you like stinky cheese so much, why you think it's so tasty. For the Lord, only that which we do through Jesus Christ counts. That's why God testified more oftentimes, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Believe Him. Do everything through Him. We want to do much through for God, but through ourselves, through our own strength. We are fallen, but we have to do it through Him. And that must be worked into you. And we also must have a healthy fear not to do anything through our own flesh, not to serve God out of our own flesh. It's better to do nothing than serving through our flesh, and then we will cause so many problems. And be careful what you speak with your lips. Also, Isaiah, in chapter 6, when he saw the glory of God sitting on the throne with seraphims who were saying, "Holy, holy, holy. Our God is a holy God. Don't think that he accepts everything. He does not accept everything. Maybe you accept everything." But what was Isaiah's reaction? "Oh, Lord, what a glory. I have seen him." Was he so proud? "Who are you? Have you ever seen such a vision? I have seen him." So what? What was Isaiah's reaction? "Woe is me, because I am a man of unclean lips. And not only I am a man of unclean lips, but I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." That means we all have unclean lips. That's why we have spoken so many lies, speaking so many false words, and we cause so many problems. That's why Proverbs says, "A fool, if he does not speak, is considered wise." Too many terrible things come out of our mouth, and the Lord warned us. Every idle word that comes out of our mouth, we will have to give an account for it. How often do problematic words and untruths, lies, come out of our mouth and cause an explosion, a volcanic explosion, and cause divisions, problems among the saints, and so much criticism comes out of our mouth, and then we say we want to build the church? Don't think that what I'm sharing now has nothing to do with the epistle of 1 John. This is the life. This is the life. God's life, the eternal life. God has given us this life through Jesus Christ, who paid such a price. He gave his own life that we might receive this life. And yet we still do things out of ourselves. What do you think God will say? So learn to come to this life. And I emphasize again, this life is not just life, but the entire humanity of Jesus Christ. Truly, in truth, he said, "I am the truth." We need the essence. The Greek word for truth, I've mentioned many times, is aletheia. It's not just something that is true, but it's present in substance. It's the substance. Without substance, our words are empty. They're vain. But in this wonderful Jesus, the whole fullness of God dwells in him bodily. He's not just a savior. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4 says, in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. More true knowledge than that comes out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And at this, I want to take the opportunity right now to say, why? What's wrong with knowledge? Do you not have any knowledge, Zoltan? Oh, yes. I've seen so many things. I even saw that you built a model of the temple in Ezekiel. That's wonderful. Where did you get this knowledge? From Jesus? No, from the university in Stuttgart. Also from work. Do you need the Holy Spirit to know this? But now, can you build the real temple in Ezekiel? No, it's just through a computer on paper. That's not the reality. That is also knowledge. But fortunately, you're using your knowledge for such things, not to build bombs. Or machine guns. That's also a certain kind of knowledge. Through this knowledge that was separated apart from God, created so much nonsense. And even the knowledge in the Bible also causes so much fighting through the theology amongst the Christians. They have fought concerning all these things in the Bible. There are so many different interpretations, and they fight amongst each other. And they cut each other off. Such knowledge is knowledge that is apart from God. And this was at the very beginning a trick, a deception from the devil, the serpent. God, oh, he told Adam, God is afraid that when you eat from this tree, your eyes will be opened and you will have knowledge just as God. And God does not want you to have that, that you'll be like him. He doesn't want that. He is afraid that you might even have more knowledge than God. That's Satan's lie. That means any knowledge apart from God. In the end, their knowledge told them, David, you came from apes, from monkeys. They are your great-grandfather. Is this science? Then I want to say, no wonder you look like an ape. Then they'll get angry. What kind of knowledge is that? They don't believe on their Creator. And they love the darkness more than the light, as the Lord said. And religion is different. At the time when Jesus came, the world was not the Romans. Of course, it included, the Romans were part of the world. But the Lord did not have great problems with the Romans. But every day, the Lord had problems with whom? With the religious ones. And not just with the religious, normal Jews, but with the high priest, with the elders, with the scribes, those who knew the word, the scriptures, the Pharisees. They wanted to kill Jesus. Of course, Herod also wanted to kill him. But in the end, they crucified him. Do you think that it is any different today? Who wants to hinder you from doing the priestly service? Is it the political church in Stuttgart at City Hall? No? Is it the mayor of the town who's trying to stop you? No? They don't even know you. But who does not want you to practice the priesthood? The believers. Even over there, in the East Germany, this group of young people who came, they had wonderful fellowship with you, but when they returned, they testified. Shouldn't they be happy of the wondrous things? But what was the result? Tell me. Hatred and jealousy, envy, persecution, lies. Is that the world or is that religion? Religion is also a part of the world. And they forbid these young brothers to come here anymore and not even to get on Zoom. And they're only 18 years old in that age group. And this was their knowledge, which was apart from life. It was dead knowledge without life. And today, pharma, pharmaceuticals, they do good things, right? Maybe for your headaches, you have a little pill. There's so many things. And now for COVID, boom, a jab. You know, dear saints, there are so many wonderful names that you can use. Why did they use that word pharmakeia? What does pharmakeia mean? It means sorcery. Sorcery. If you found a company, would you call it devil? Or call it demonic ink. Would you use that name? Never. But these people had to use the word pharmakeia because their Lord told them to use it. Pharmakeia. Sorcery. Witchcraft. like a witch with a big cauldron turning, stirring the pot. Would you drink something out of that black pot? Look at today. Everything they're doing has come to light. That's also knowledge, but where does this knowledge come from? There are many kinds of knowledge. In China, they created beautiful fireworks. That's a good knowledge. It's nice that they discovered it. But what do they do with that knowledge? Now they make bombs. Do we need bombs? Is that good for humanity? Are bombs good? But they have that knowledge. Good and evil comes together. They built nice cars, but evil tanks, they also build those. Which is better? This is knowledge. Do you think God would give us such kind of a knowledge that through chemistry, through you create pharmaceuticals? That's the problem. Knowledge without God. And what do they teach now? They say, they're teaching the children, you can choose whether you want to be a woman or a man. What kind of science is that? Is that science? That is devil ship. You're right. People are so sound. They've learned so much from the university, and then something like this comes out. Such knowledge. In the end, they destroy humanity, and that is what the devil wants. But from the tree of life, and the life was the light, and in this wonderful person, Jesus Christ, in him dwelt all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and such knowledge that comes from the Lord gives life and does not bring death to humanity. So, in the end of the Bible, we can see that the Lord uses John to bring us back to life. And then he says, little children, verse 21, keep yourselves from idols. I'm sorry, children of the devil. Which category do you want to belong to? And the whole world with this system. Look at the people in the U.S. There was the Communist Party in China and also in Russia. Already 50 or 70 years, they had plans how to bring these thoughts into the universities in U.S. And now you find all these communist, socialist, Marxist ideas in the U.S. universities. I'm sorry, I don't want to criticize here, but I'm telling you the truth. What is the result of this tree? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. You think you want to have something good, but the evil comes out. And in the end, everything is about mammon. What is mammon? Money. The root of all evil. The whole world looks like this. And we must be able to discern. That does not mean that we don't need anything anymore. No, you need a car to drive around. But you don't need a Ferrari. Do you need a Ferrari? What can the Ferrari do? It'll just take your money. Hopefully, you won't have an accident. Drive slowly. This is how it is. And this greed, this covetousness is in your being. You want more and more. And in the end, you have so many idols at home. The modern idols are not like this bald idol with a fat belly and they pray, this bald guy, pray to and worship to this bald guy. That's terrible. Those were the idols from before, decades and centuries ago. But now, you carry these idols in your purse every day. Covetousness. Maybe you don't know that you have idols in your, you're carrying idols in your purse. And for this reason, today, we have to understand clearly. If we have not understood this, we will fall into a trap. We'll be deceived, misled. The devil is a deceiver of the whole world. That's what it's written in Revelation chapter 12. This dragon, Satan, he is the deceiver of the whole world. We're deceived by him. And we must all know this. If we don't know it, then we will not be free. If we know it, and John mentions this very often, we know what is of God. We know what is not of God. We know what is from the devil and what is not from the devil. What is of God himself? We know these things in all clarity. The proof is there. That's why I say you have to read 1 John more, many times, and keep it in your heart. If not, we will be misled and deceived, and deceived more often. Deceived by the deceiver of this world. Satan is a professional liar, a deceiver, and a murderer in the end. Don't think that it is not dangerous. I see so many young people here, and also even the older ones. If we do not know the truth, we will be deceived. But if we know the truth and know this wonderful life in us, then we will be clear. Then it's not so easy to deceive us, whether it's from the world or from the religious world. I don't know which one is more dangerous. Maybe they're equal in their danger. In the end, It will take you away from God. He will take you away from God. That is his goal. And then death will enter. And this is very, very important. And once again, I come back. If you really want to know God, then you must know the Lord, because in him dwells the fullness of God, the Godhead. And in him is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If we know him, we know the eternal life. And remember what we read in John chapter 5. The Lord said to him, "You search the scriptures because you think in your head that by searching the scriptures in this you'll receive the eternal life." But no, it's not through the reading of the Bible, but you don't want to come to me, said the Lord, so that you might receive life. He is the life. That doesn't mean that the Bible is false, but it depends on what you do. That's why every time we come to the Word, we must have a desire. Lord, I want to come to you in this Word. Eat the Word. Our purpose is to lay hold of the Lord, to gain him, to receive this life. It's not the letter. As we read, the letter even kills in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but the Spirit gives life. And the Lord will increase in us. We want to lay hold of the riches of Christ to gain them. Just as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I want to know him. And that is the eternal life, that we know him. He who knows God, you can know everything in the scripture and still not know this living God. Just like the scribes, that's such an example in the New Testament. And our Master, our Savior, the Lord himself, had such a problem with them. And we also have to learn this. Don't believe everything that you see, but test all things. To test is important. To have discernment is important. If we do not test and think, oh, that's a nice group, and they also read the Bible, they also love God, then we have to test it. Especially today, test. In Singapore, there was a mega church with over 20,000 members. In the end, the whole board landed in prison. And still, the believers in this megachurch believed, no, they're innocent. It was a big headline in the paper. The saints there, they even gave me this newspaper. I still have that newspaper at home. And the pastor sent his wife to Hollywood so she could learn from Hollywood, to learn about music and so on, that she could become a good evangelist for the Lord. Really? Yes. Made and trained in Hollywood. Of course. Where else would you become so famous? And the pastor used this to receive thousands from people. And Singapore is a very strict country. You can't even chew gum. So when you go to Singapore, please throw all your bubble gum away or gum away. This is religion. This is knowledge, not just worldly or academic knowledge, but religious and biblical knowledge. And in the end, you build such a group. I think that the saints in Korea can testify, because they also came out of such groups. So learn, we are for life, to eat from the tree of life. Learn. It depends on you. If you do not learn, what can we do? Then, let us go to 2 John, just to look at it in short. Do we still have time? Oh, 9 o'clock. Just a few minutes. First, the old apostle said, I rejoiced greatly, in verse 4, that I have found some of your children children that read the Bible daily. In verse 4, is that what it says? That I have found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady. This was a wonderful sister who was faithful. Not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And in 1 John, his commandments are simply his word. But some people say, no, we don't need that. They said, the priestly service, that's of the Old Testament. It doesn't apply to us anymore. Is that what Peter said? No, it's exactly the opposite. But we have to love the Word. If we love the Word, that means you love God because it is His Word. It is not just some commandment from just anybody, but it is the commandment of the living God. And if you love God, you will keep His words. And if this life of Christ dwells and abides in you, this anointing dwells in you, then to keep his commandments is not burdensome. If it is burdensome for you, that means that you do not love God. Yeah. In verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess not only that Jesus Christ came in flesh, but they don't confess many things in the Bible. They just don't accept it today. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for. He was a faithful apostle of the Lord, but that we may receive a full reward. There is a reward when the Lord returns. Whoever transgresses, in German it says, who goes too far. But the Lord warned at the end, whoever adds to the word, God will add the plagues. And whomever subtracts or takes away from this God's word, God will also take away his portion from the tree of life. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, not from the teaching of denominations, but from Christ. All the true doctrines should lead us to Christ, not to just any practice, but to the living person of Christ. He who transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Praise the Lord. We love the Father and we love the Son. And the Apostle John wants to bring us into the fellowship with the Father and the Son, and that's life. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. You should not use this for the believers. If you don't agree with me, then we have nothing to do with you. No, this is not what is meant here. But if such people come to deceive us, then we should say no. Why are you afraid that they speak to you? Are you a deceiver? As Paul said in 2 Corinthians, they're deceived because those people rejected him. I didn't hear his answer, I'm sorry. Why did they warn to have fellowship with you? Because they were afraid that their people, that their people will know the truth. People are afraid of bringing or allowing their people to come talk to you because they're afraid that they will learn the truth, not that you'll deceive them. In verse 11, for he who greets him, this is a very serious warning, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. That means that you're influenced by him. In those days, the religious people warned all the people of Jesus and saying that Jesus is a deceiver or not. They warned the people. They warned them of Jesus. Not because Jesus was a deceiver, but because they were deceivers. That's why we have to love the truth and to walk in the truth, because the truth is just a person, not because it is just truth, but the Lord is truth. Verse 12, John said, having many things to write to you. I didn't say I don't have much to write, so it doesn't matter, but he said, I have many things to write to you. It's too bad that he didn't write more so that we could learn more. But he did not want to do it with paper and ink, but was hoping to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Praise the Lord. Then, in 3 John, okay, give me 5 more minutes. For all these epistles go together. He said, to the beloved. Beloved is a nice word. He didn't say brothers or sisters. He didn't even say saints. But he said, beloved. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Then he said again, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. This should be our calling. Not because we have so much knowledge, but that all the saints walk in the truth. The Lord knows who's walking in the truth and who's not walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So learn to do this. In everything that we do in the church life, especially here in Zion, in the heavenly Jerusalem, if we already say that we are the heavenly Jerusalem, then I hope that we are also heavenly. Beloved, he mentioned again, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren. And for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. They bore witness of your love. I hope that the guests who came from other countries don't give the testimony, oh, we had a good conference and we learned so much of 1 John. That's not a good recommendation. But I hope that when they go back, they will testify, oh, there in Feiingen, I saw the love of the Lord. What would you rather be known for? For the latter. Then do it. Then walk in the truth and in love of the Lord. Then all those who come should experience God's love in us. Who have borne witness of your love before the church. That's so wonderful. And you would do well if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God. You will do well because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. the theological seminars. One very important seminar is how you can gather money. That's, of course, the most important. How can you go and preach the gospel everywhere without money? I heard from a brother that a long time ago, an older brother told him, every time you go to a new place, you have to look where the money trees are. Money trees? Do you know any money trees in Germany? Then you have to shake this tree, this money tree. And then the money will fall down. Covetousness. Covetousness for money. Is that what the Lord did? The Lord doesn't need any money tree. He just has to say, let there be money, and there would be money. This is not what the Lord did. What is money for the Lord? What are you going to do with money when the kingdom of heavens appears? Tell me. You all know the answer. Amen, Lord Jesus. Taking nothing from the Gentiles, we therefore, we ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Also, Paul never did that. Referring to the money trees. Verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, he wants to be the first, have the preeminence. That's death. That's not from the tree of life. He who wants to be the first and have the preeminence here in Feigen. You, Mark? No. And I want to tell you all, the first place has already been taken. And you know who has the preeminence here in the church. But he's not just the first, but also the last place is even taken. That means first, second, third, fourth, fifth, all the way to the end, it's all taken because everything is from the Lord. He is the first and the last. So, here we have no room, no room for us, for no place. We are all brothers. That's why in Colossians, Paul said, that the Lord must have the preeminence. He has the preeminence. God set him as head over all things, not you, not the elders, not just anyone, not the Pope, not the elders. But Ephesians tells us clearly, but the people don't see it, and they also don't speak about this. And many Christians speak about the body, but are they a body without a head? What's more important, the body or the head? The head. But everybody wants to be a head. Only the dragon has 7 heads. That's not good. The body of Christ does not have 7 heads. It's a monster. We only have 1 head. He has the preeminence, and the Holy Spirit has the authority, not man. That's why the Spirit, the anointing, will not come upon the flesh. Then that Diotrephes does not receive us. So even when John visited Diotrephes said, "No, I don't want to receive him." Why? What do you think the reason is? Because if John came, if he would come, he would lose his position. "Therefore, if I come," he said, "I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words." And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, not just us, but he's also not receiving the brethren. And this is important to know, because today in many religious groups there are Diotrephes. Their name may not be Diotrephes, but whether they're called John or Peter, their last name is Diotrephes. Yeah. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them. And oh, not only did they not do it, but they forbid other saints to do it. You cannot have fellowship with them. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Putting them out of the church. Tell me the truth. Have you had joy to put someone out of the church and tell him you can't come to the church? Would you like to do that? One day I come here and he say, "No, he can't come here." Fortunately, I'm not John. I won't fight with you. I'll go back to California. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil. That means don't do the same as him. We should not do that. If you do that, then you are an imitator of evil. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Although you say, "I believe in God," but John said, Diotrephes, he did not see God. He has not seen God. This is a very serious matter. Then he said again, "I had many things to write," verse 13. Unfortunately, he wrote so little. But you have the anointing in you, and that's enough. The anointing will teach you all things. We don't need to have a long epistle. Then he said again, "But I hope to see you shortly." Then he recommended a wonderful co-worker. And what was his name? Oh, we have Demetrius in verse 12. Praise the Lord. There's not just a Diotrephes, but there's also Demetrius. Wonderful. May the Lord make us all Demetrius, that none of us would be a Diotrephes. We have to cast out Diotrephes out of our hearts. the ambition, the vain aim of life to be someone in the world, and especially in the church. In those days, when they were disciples and they weren't apostles yet, they fought amongst themselves, saying, who is the greatest? Who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heavens? We all have this sickness, this virus, in our hearts and in our flesh and in our soul. This cannot be the case. So praise the Lord. And then we have more or less gone through all three epistles of John. And you can read the rest by yourselves when you go home. They're very short, but very important, especially for the practical church life in Zion. Be meek, be humble. Let this mind that was also in Christ Jesus be in us. We all need this. Then we will have peace, joy, life, and wonderful experience with the wonderful triune God, and have life and love amongst one another. Is that not wonderful?
Yeah?
Amen. Andre Murray. Hallelujah. Grace be with us all. Amen.